Welcome to Attack of Opportunity.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Attack of Opportunity. With me here today, I have the distinct pleasure of talking to the lovely ladies from Roll Like a Girl podcast. We have Nikki Barrett, Theron, and Sarah Myers all in the virtual studio with me today. Ladies, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much.
So let's start with our primary question that we love to ask all of our victims here in the studio. How did you first know you were a geek, a nerd, one of us? And we will recycle the questions through each of these ladies, starting with Nikki. How did you know?
Oh, I've been a geek my whole life. Grew up reading fantasy and sci-fi, surrounded with movies, video games, all of that, basically the entire time. Since the day I came out of the womb.
Came out with a book in hand.
Pretty much.
And how about you, Theron?
I mean, pretty much the same. There's definitely probably a point in my life where I sort of accepted the word geek or nerd more than before, but I have always been basically the same, reading the books, video games, stuff like that. Never been not my thing.
Do you two have a favorite book while we're on the subject? Like a real fantasy, like as a series, or just love it all? Or?
Yes. The first thing I have a series I've read 10 times, and it is The Heirs of the Queen by Mercedes Lackey.
Oh, cool. And Theron?
My favorite book is probably American Gods by Neil Gaiman. I think I've probably read it like a dozen times as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love Ian McShane in the television version of that, if we're talking about the same thing.
Mm. Yeah, it's the same thing. I haven't actually watched the entire series, but the book is my bag. I love it.
Oh. Sarah, how about you?
I kind of grew up reading any and all books I could get my hands on, but really started getting into gaming after my parents bought me a PlayStation 3 for Christmas one year. I was that fortunate kid. I still have it, too. So I was about a junior in high school. And then after I got out of high school, my the lady at my knitting club invited me to join her husband's Pathfinder group. And that's been almost 10 years now. Almost 10 years now. So that's kind of where I got my jump into the whole thing. And I've not looked back since.
The interviews run 20 to 40 minutes, and I was like worried that, you know, with so many people would run. She's answered like three of my questions just right out of the gate. So we know the defining moment. We know the gateway drug was Pathfinder 3.
Oh, yeah.
She's been playing for 10 years. But for you, Nikki, was there a defining moment or a gateway drug? Like, okay, you've been reading the book since the war. Like, I'm picturing this hospital with the two of you popping out, book in hand. We've got another one. And the nurses are scrambling around the hospital. What's going on here? You know?
I got into role-playing games just after high school, but I'm older than Sarah, so it's been 20 years. I had some guy who's living with us. He's like, I don't have any books, but I remember how to play D&D, so let's go ahead and play. And we're like, I guess. So, and it's just been ever since. I've been playing nonstop. It's been cool. Fun.
And you, Theron?
Well, I think that probably what I usually cite as my defining moment is when I met my wife. She introduced me to the Elder Scrolls series, the video games, and there was a point in there, I was playing Oblivion, and I was like, well, I've finished this, I want more, like, how can I make more of this? And that is when we got into RPGs at the table, because we could make our own world, we could do, like, more with it.
I remember my wife and my son showing me Oblivion 4, and you're like in the first cave, and there's the very first trap with the rope and the log, and it's the simplest thing. It's like the cheesiest thing you do after years of role playing, but to actually see it, you know, I just kept reloading the game and kicking these logs down there. Like, I was just playing the first thing with the little goblins and the witch thing at the end, because it was just like, oh, this is the real deal. Look at this, you know, look at the lighting. It's so great. Look at the logs go, you know.
The tutorial in that game is amazing for getting you into that sort of
You know, what's this? You know, looking at the cooking supplies, little campfire. No one's here. I'll help myself. Oh, there's a rope. Dun, dun, dun. You know, I'm like doing commentary, you know, jumping over the rope back and forth, you know. Oh, no, I want to see the trap go off, you know, and you just hit the rope and jump back. So much fun. How long like moving into like the tabletop, like the proverbial mm-hmm. D20, you know, the tabletop RPGs. Nikki said about 20 years, and mm-hmm. for you, Theron?
For me, it was, let's see, that was probably 2007, so I guess 12 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Sarah?
Put
the joystick down, pick up plastic dice. How long has it been?
It was, it's been about, if I'm realistically looking at my timeline, I graduated in 2011, so eight.
It's a baby.
I am a baby. I am a baby. Yeah, I'm not the baby of the group, though.
You're a wee baby. Sorry.
Yeah, our fourth member is, she's only 19, so she's only been playing D&D with us.
Two years.
So.
And who's your fourth member?
Her name is Libby. She just couldn't be here today. She doesn't run a game. She just plays with us, so.
Oh, okay. And didn't you say Libby's sister actually made it to Gen Con this year?
Sarah, my sister.
Oh, so you're, sorry, Sarah's sister made it to Gen Con.
Yep, yeah. She did.
Can we call her up live? Can you just like phone her up and say, what are you doing right now?
She would be really upset with me because she's running around with her podcast group today. One of our longtime friends who moved over to Ohio, we haven't seen in a few months, is visiting her. So the odds of her actually answering are next to none. Yeah, she's not going to answer.
Okay, well, you know, she might have made it to Gen Con, but you could say, you know, Attack of Opportunity interviewed me, you know. Yeah. Actually, you might wait till we're actually, you know, a show or big or something. Remember that time 20 years ago when you went to Gen Con and I had to do an interview? moving through here. So you guys are playing D&D and like starting with Nikki. What was your first fantasy RPG that you played? And do you have a favorite, you know, class, race, alignments that you always gravitate towards?
See, sure.
I can't link up some questions here and move things along.
So I started playing Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, the end of second edition, like 2.5. My first big group I was with actually transitioned all of our characters from 2.5 to 3 midway through our campaign. And I will play a cleric unless I am not allowed to. Every opportunity.
Oh, wow.
I am always ready to throw myself on that cleric grenade because it's my favorite. Cool. Every time.
You do hold the party's life and death, you know.
In my hands.
We have our new GM, Rob Hammond. I gave him an NPC role right out of the War for Crown Pathfinder First Edition book. And there's this Moagi Expanse cleric called Juan Zumbari. And he follows Adabar, which is the god of commerce or whatever. And this guy is like gold first. You know, do you have insurance? You know, that kind of thing. Like, it's money first, you know, healing second. And he's doing a great job and having a lot of fun with this. And I always thought it was interesting that people that, like, you know, have the clerics, you know, they're like, yeah, I'll play the cleric, you know, watch this. Oh, you live, you know, I really don't like your character. You know, I'm just sure you want to play something else. I mean, you know, come on, man, I'm bleeding out. You know, like, no, I'm not feeling, you know, like, you know, can I take 10 on the heal check? Maybe just stitch them up and, you know, don't really have any. I need all these positive energy spells for the undead that are coming later. I really can't waste them on you.
Oh, I have a friend who plays cleric like that. I could heal you, or I could fireball.
Oh, yeah. Save the party, save you. No, that's implying that everyone that does that. No. Mm-hmm. Theron, same question. So how long have you been rolling the dice, as it were? And do you have a favorite class alignment or something that you always gravitate towards?
Yeah, when I started gaming, we had sort of like a rough start. We picked up the D&D 4th edition red box and it didn't go great, so we sort of eventually found our way to Pathfinder, and that's where I got like my main gaming stuff.
Yes.
The first character I ever made was a rogue, and I have always really loved rogues. That's probably, until this year, I would say that would be my main class choice. But since I started playing a lot of 5e, I really, really, really love the 5e druid. I would probably play the druid every time I had a chance. I think that they're really great. They're kind of like a wizard, but cooler.
Cool.
and you can like turn into animals and stuff. It's my favorite.
Yeah. I have a question for you, Theron. Which circle?
Oh, I like all the circles. Like if you're going for the wizard vibe, the whole circle of the land where you get mm-hmm. different elemental stuff is great. But if you want to be a frontline fighter, the thing where you get to turn into a more powerful animal is cool. But
the circle, moon circle, yeah.
Circle of the moon, yeah. My main druid, though, is a... what is it called when you have a bunch of sheep? Shepherd.
Shepherd.
I love her.
A sheep so owner?
Yeah, I don't I don't think that I can say enough good things about the Circle of the Shepherd either. They're all good. I like the diversity of options, really. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, welcome to show my new co-host, Sarah, because I know I sadly know far less about 5th edition than I really should for some of these interviews. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We're delving in there. I'm available.
All the time.
Looking for a co-host. I roped one of our auxiliary cast members, Ashley Florence, into co-hosting this show with me, and she did it. She did a great job. And afterwards, she's like, "I'm going to kill you." Just threw me under the bus. So what about you, Sarah?
Well, the reason why I asked Theron is because Druid is also one of my favorite classes. Starting off, it was Pathfinder 3. 3, 5?
It's
Pathfinder. It's just Pathfinder. Man, I really like the D&D Pathfinder. Or the D&D Pathfinder.
There's D&D 3.5, and then they jokingly call Pathfinder 3.75 because it was in between that and 4th. And,
I'm a big fan of the Druid class. But really, there's just some days I got to go hit stuff. So definitely a fighter.
Yeah, I've got to introduce you guys. Introduce you guys to Ashley. Her go-to is the druid. She's got this mountain lion cougar called Roxy, and we make all these cougar jokes because the cat's supposed to be over 40. And you know, this is our brand new show, and call it My Three Druids. You know, and have you guys stomp across. You know, with Nikki the cleric going along behind, going, "I hate these people."
Oh, I have to be a nature cleric, then that'd be fine. I could pretend Ash right on the radar there.
Don't tempt me. That sounds like a lot of fun. Just running around. So. You guys are playing, you're gaming, you know, a couple years, several years or whatever. What got you guys together playing together and then decide to actually like make content to make your own show? Was it the show that brought you together?
This is Sarah's question.
Yeah. How did this? Okay. Well, starting with Sarah, what was the specific inspiration that decided you to cross over to 1%, become a content creator? And
it was an idea that I've been toying with for a little bit. It was like right after the Adventure Zone became really big. And I was like looking for podcasts that featured all women.
Okay.
And I couldn't find anything. So I was talking to Theron about it one day because Theron and I were mutuals on Tumblr. We've been mutuals for a long while now.
Mutualers on Tumblr?
Yeah, so like we followed each other. We would reblog things for each other, talk crap about each other.
It's just like being a Facebook friend on Tumblr.
Thank you.
It's called mutuals. I had tossed this idea to her to see if I could get some feedback or if she'd be interested in doing it with me. And it kind of went from there. That's how we also met Livy. It was through a random, "Hey, I want to play D&D, but I don't have anybody to play with." And so I reached out to Livy. I said, "Hey, I'm going to play D&D, but it's going to be a podcast. Cool with that?" And so she's like, "Hell yeah, let's just do it. Let's just go." And then Theron introduced Nikki to the concept of our podcast. And she happily joined in with us.
Cool. So you guys are like, "Yeah, let's do this," you know. And how did the cast come together in what order? So there's Sarah and Theron were the mutuals. Mm-hmm. And then you know, how did you guys reach out and find Nikki and Livy?
So Livy was found on Tumblr. I found her through a random post that was, you know, she asked one of their blogger that I followed how to get into D&D, and she was looking for a group. So I just messaged her, said, "Hey, we're doing a podcast. You want to join?" So she was cool with it. And then Sarah knew Nikki before.
Yeah, Nikki and I were friends. We were in a long, a long-running campaign together that we called the Murder Nerds. And when the podcast...
I like that name.
Yeah, we were terrible people. I ended up as a lich by the end of it. Like, bad news.
I was the queen of hell at the end. It was a big deal.
I'm taking that name. As long as you guys don't mind, I'll tell you what. As recompense, you guys can cameo in this. I'm like, that's better than Murder Hobos, like Murder Nerds.
Yeah, all the characters had history. Yeah. It was random. There were four characters. Everybody had history. Like, we are the nerdiest group of murderers ever. Oh my God. So.
No, that's, you know. I love it. Well, actually, we're going to start the evil campaign, the first edition Pathfinder Hell's Vengeance.
We're calling it
the Foul Play Podcast. And but Murder Nerds. Oh, man. I think I missed the bus on that. So, sorry, moving on. So you guys are all together. You're all playing. And now you're putting up your show. And let's talk about your show. What is it? What is it specifically?
So it's a, it's just mostly us, you know, playing D&D. Our first season was, me as the DM. I ran the girls through a world that I was creating, and because it was my first time ever DMing, fifth edition, I had watched and listened to a lot of different YouTubes and podcasts and all sorts of things. So I had a horrible basic concept of what fifth edition should be like. So that was kind of our tester season. After we were done with
tester season of 50 episodes.
Yeah. It did become a little bit more than I was expecting, to be perfectly honest. We had a little bit of a break, and then I handed the reins off to Theron, and then Theron handed the reins off to Nikki. So we're just kind of rotating DMs each season. So we're now on season 3.
Oh, that's very cool. Like around the table DMing. That's really neat.
Mm-hmm. It gives us a chance to really explore each other's worlds a lot. Yeah. So right now we're in Nikki's fantasy Earth.
Yes. We are in my homebrew world of alternate history, fantasy Earth. And they are spies.
We're bad at it.
Yeah, they're really bad at it. They're spies who work for the Duke of Venice.
That sounds really cool. I'm running a homebrew game for my wife, and we take an alternate America with a little bit of like the Pathfinder patch for D20 Modern.
Okay.
And she's like, cool. It's the same thing. They're, you know, spies and kind of thing. So I was just really thrilled to see that someone else is doing something like that.
We're like 1800s or so, and there's a lot going on. So that's what we're in. We just recorded episode 22 this morning. Mm-hmm. So we're doing good on that.
Cool. So you've got like Sherlock, Sarah, and Theron the Ripper going, running around in the Victorian age?
No.
Nerd. Kind of.
So Theron's character is a orc warlock.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah is playing an Azamar paladin. And then Livy is a human wizard enchanter.
Cool.
And like each race is sort of set from a different country. So my orc is Russian. Her name is Lydia Tomarova Barsikov.
That's what I'm talking about. I love it. Always got to give a certain accent to a certain race. Always. Oh,
okay. So the Venetians they work for are mostly gnomes. This came out of a game I had played here at my house with my husband and our friends that was called Fantasy France. And I was like, I'll do season 3. That's fine. And I was like, well, let's roll the timeline forward a little bit. Let's think about what the world would look like at this time. And now they're spies. So that's what we're doing right now.
That is absolutely awesome. I want a cameo in this world. Where do you guys actually get together and make this content? Do you have mics around the table in a certain place in the States? Are you guys all in the States? Are you all online? How do you guys get this going here?
Theron, want to answer that one?
Yeah, we are we record exactly the way that we're recording this podcast. We live all across the United States. I am in Rhode Island, and Nikki's in Texas, and Livy is in Florida, and Sarah is in Arkansas. So we never get together, except we just all met at a convention recently.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which convention? Where?
We went to a very small convention in its first year called Drellicon. It was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Yeah.
See, I'd want to see that. I want to have somebody like the documentary of like, please tell me there's photos or like a Facebook video of you guys meeting for the first time.
Please. We did not unfortunately do that. I wish we kind of thought about that.
We did do a live show at the convention that we have some of the audio of. My phone's fritz snap and I can't get my pictures off of it, so there are pictures, we just don't have them up yet.
Okay.
But the audio from the, because Theron and I were part of panels, Theron did a what was that panel? I'm so sorry.
It was called Bringing Players to the Table. It was basically about being a community of RPG people. And like we talked about a lot of different levels of that, but it's basically about building a community around tabletop gaming.
Cool.
I did one that was an intro to Into the Podcast First is what we called it. And I was pulled to, I moderated. There we go. I moderated the conversation there, but I was joined by a whole bunch of podcasters. Mm-hmm. And that audio is actually out on their channels, and I'll have to promote them later. But I know one of them is Lawful Stupid, who launched it, and we'll be doing ours.
I know them.
Well, yeah,
if you can put those links, if you can put those links in this chat, I will make sure that those links appear in the credits of this podcast for Tag of Opportunity. So check the credits for you know some of the auxiliary work you know Sarah and the girls are doing out there. I find that really heartwarming. We have my crew is like yourself, virtual, you know, never really met. The Canadian crew know each other. We're all in the same town, plus my son-in-law who's in Ottawa and who just flew to Japan. That should be fun getting him in, still involved 13 hours ahead. And then we have a couple guys in the States, and we have a young guy in Ohio, I think it is. Oh, geez, he's going to kill me. I can't remember where it is. And we have Frank Hamilton's in Portland, Oregon. And we joked about Frank. He was like, I'll get a passport. I'll get on a plane and I'll, you know, come up there and we'll do a convention. I'm like, oh, yes. You will see myself, Matt Witt, and Ryan in like suits like hitmen with a sign. And you're like, you're expecting a limo and we'll, you know, we'll throw you in the limo and, you know, all suits and, you know, all this kind of thing and drive you out. You know, and so I want to put money together and I want to pick him up from the Toronto airport in Ontario, Canada. And like we're all wearing suits, and we'll
get a limo and crazy stuff.
And then we drive them to the worst rat shit hole motel that we can find, and just leave them on the curb, no reservation. You know, $20 in his pocket. You know, welcome to Canada. You know, there you go. Posh, but you know, we blew all the money in limo. Sorry, Frank. Here you go. You know, there's a barn door and the outhouse for you. Enjoy your weekend with us. We'll pick you up for the convention later. You know, that kind of thing. So anyway, you guys record online, and do you mind me asking what software you use?
Audacity.
So you record directly in Audacity and edit with it later.
Yep. And we do use Discord to have our calls on. So we use the backup bot, Craig, who has, at first it was a little hard getting him to get us. Yeah. Long story short, he's our backup audio.
Okay.
So it's pretty good turnout, you know, in case we do have those wonky days where audio doesn't want to work with us.
Yeah, no.
Which happens a lot frequently.
We're the same. I kind of doubled down with video OBS and I crank the audio up to 320 kilobytes a second and max out the thing. Now, and people are like, why are you doing that? And it's like, well, sure, like Twitch and all these video programs that have audio max out at 168 per second, but a WAV file that we would like to edit is 705 kilobytes a second. It sounds really good when you're laying in music and then you squish it into an MP3. And I still hope that people have enough data. I make MP3s at 320, not at 160 like everybody else. So yes, our pods are 164 megabytes as opposed to 74 megabytes, but we're hoping for a better, you know. And we use VoiceMeter Banana as a virtual studio to record as a backup, as well as OBSs, that type of thing. We tried, browser, and everyone logs into this browser and it'll record your audio on your computer at home and then uploads them all to me for clean audio. Problem with that though is your mic is open constantly and you get all the computer noises, and you know, it's really neat to have five tracks for any editing and layover. When people talk at the same time, you miss a good joke, but it becomes an editing nightmare. So it's, you know, there's a lot of options for the online, but I guess that's, I guess we could do a whole show discussing, you know, I'm just a comrade, you know, yes, someone, you know,
yes.
Most people that I interview are just like, yeah, five of us around the table, we go, there's the Yeti in the middle. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Nothing's wrong with that. You have it so easy, you know, trying to do something online is, it's a little different.
It's definitely different. It was one of the things we were concerned about whenever we decided we wanted to record, our stuff at the convention, is because it's like, well, we're all so used to recording remotely. And then I just started wondering around. It's like, hey, do you record around a table, or do you know how this audio works? Because we're not used to doing this together. We're used to being remote, and this is not working the right way. Unfortunately, people knew the answer and could definitely help us.
Yeah, that's
actually
good.
I have another show called Legends of Chell, and we record around a table, or we did until recently. And it's not as nice as you would expect, because like whatever happens, it's in there. You can't really edit it. If somebody coughs while somebody else is talking, that's it. I much prefer the virtual recording.
Is it a live stream?
No, it was just we recorded around the table.
I see you saying like somebody coughs, like you'd either cut it and lose the whole thing, or you know, got to leave it.
Yeah, like you lose what somebody else was saying, or you have to remember to like say, hey, can you say that sentence again with just as much feeling? Thanks.
Yeah. No, I get that a lot. I'm like, oh, sorry, you're breaking up. You know, or sometimes the internet messes up and they go robotic.
Yeah.
We brought a new cast member, Joe Gibson, and we've nicknamed him Frozen Joe because he's moved from one part of Oshawa to another, and we had gotten used to him being fine. And all of a sudden, he's playing Star Wars with us. He's playing a cyborg, and his internet was crazy, and it made his voice sound robotic. So we're like, oh, your voice vocabulator module is, you know, is on the fritz there. We'll have to have a look at that. And we had to shoot several episodes with this crap audio from poor Joe Gibson, who's just trying to play some Star Wars with us. So my next question, ladies, is where can we find you online, the social media presence? You have Facebook. I know you guys are on Twitter because that's how I talk to you.
Oh, yeah. Twitter is our prominent platform, just because it's easy for us to to use it. And we found through a lot of just watching interactions there, we are very prominent on Twitter with everybody else. We do have a Discord channel that is also linked into our Twitter, but it's where our fans can come and talk to us about some of the recent episodes, or sometimes we'll get fan art, or they'll say, hey, Sarah, I saw this and I thought of you, and just shoot it my way. So we do have a Discord community that we are accessible to.
And yeah, we talk about everything there. We were talking about Dip dyeing hair the other day. Like,
yeah, we're really active in our Discord. We have a lot of really good friends, I'd say, in it now.
Oh, that's cool.
For sure.
So, is the Discord open? Like, can you guys spam?
Yeah,
give us an invite by all means, and you know, like for the community that want to connect with Roll Like a Girl fans, or you know, the cast members themselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That sounds great.
Yeah. I'll shoot you a link to all the things.
So I love your logo. This sort of faded pastel looking Las Vegas desert. Is that like a cow skull or a ram skull?
It's a dragon skull, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a dragon skull. It was a little hard to see, but yeah, it was again, tumblr.com. It was an artist I found there. Super nice girl to work with. And she, I commissioned it for us.
Oh, what's her name?
I'm going to go look it up because that.
No, that's fine. It's just, you know,
a long time ago.
Again, for the credits, you know, put it in
there. Yeah. That would be. A Daisy. She is AYDAZIE.tumblr.com. That's where you can find her, and she has some beautiful artwork there too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're running a little short on time here because I've promised the executive producer that I'm trying to cap these at 20-45 minutes. So the bonus quick round, ladies, if you don't mind asking some bonus questions.
Sure.
Nikki, what do you do for a living?
I do nothing for a living. I am a housewife. I knit and play video games.
Okay. And Theron?
I am a reference librarian in a public library.
And Sarah?
I work in a print shop.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
You know, this is the way of the future. I just don't know.
Yeah. I work, it's a large format printer, which has recently been on the fritz. So my week has been very stressful and interesting. Yeah, but it's fun.
So we already talked about your latest project with this really cool alternate Nikki world that I want to, the fantasy France, you know, with murderers. Oh, I want to hear more about this. I want to, you know, off the air here. What do you guys got in the future? Is there a convention coming up? Is there a new show, a second show? You know, we guys talked about, Sarah and Theron talked about some other projects that you're already involved in. Is there something for the Role Like a Girl crew coming up? Your next big wave, your next big season? You got to hand the reins to Lizzie next year?
Right now, we are probably in the, I would think we're in the middle of season three. We did
You'd
our
like
one.
To think that, wouldn't you?
I would. Well, no, I would like to go forever because I love Fantasy Earth.
Oh, I was also really high level. They're 13th level compared to like fifth level. We're playing our last game. So,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
So right now we're working on just the show itself as a group. We did our one convention this year. Which unfortunately depleted our Patreon funds, so we can't really afford to go do other fun things for the rest of the year.
We'd love to do another convention probably next year.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Where can we find your Patreon?
I put it in our link.
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, copied those en masse, and we'll make sure those go up here.
Yeah. So but it's patreon.com/rollikeagirl. So, but that's really the only other projects that as the entire group we are involved in, but I know Theron's got some side projects that she's been working on, and I don't know, Nikki, do you have any side projects that you're working on?
No.
She's rapidly knitting you guys sweaters. Give her a break. Winter's coming.
I'm not very much involved in the rest of the podcast community, so I don't have anything else going on. I'm a hermit.
Not yet. Soon.
Probably
soon. Have our people call your people. Well, the future, what do you do for a living? Merchandise. Where the real money in the movies made. What have you got for merchandise?
I forgot to put that link in there, but we use TeePublic just to do some fun little shirts that reference our first two seasons.
Okay.
We haven't really added anything yet in the store for season three because there's just too many good, there's too many good moments there. But we are on tpublic.com/user/rollikeagirl. You can get shirts, you can get coffee mugs, you can get all sorts of things. I definitely suggest not the tank tops because they feel a little weird. I mean,
they're not quite right. But
I'm actually wearing one of our shirts right now.
Are you? Which one?
Yeah, it's the Elvisteria Defense Squad t-shirt that we designed.
The which? Sorry?
The Elvisteria Defense Center. My character in the first season owned a gym that was called the Elvisteria Defense Center, which is just the name of the city we were in. And it was like they taught self-defense and they were kind of like a food pantry. She was a paladin, so she did a lot of like very nice things. So we made like a pseudo gym t-shirt with like ADC on it in big letters. That's what I'm wearing right now.
Right on. No, that's cool. Well, ladies, thank you so much for taking the time today in the virtual world to be here with me in the real world on a Sunday afternoon for the Attack of Opportunity podcast, where I have taken every opportunity to interrupt, hopefully not rudely, with a couple of my own anecdotes. That's the show, ladies. That's why it's called Attack of Opportunity. You leave yourselves open. Here I am.
All right.
I get it.
Now you get it. Have to state this every episode now in the last three. I'm getting emails going, great name for the show. It's just a random gaming title. It's like, no, it actually means that I... Never mind. You know, so now start mentioning it every show. By the way, in case you didn't figure out the title. But ladies, thank you so much for taking the time today. We hope to see you in the future. And if I'm really... really lucky, maybe you'll hear some of these lovely ladies and some of our works coming up in the future, because I got to tell you, the Dice Before Dishonor podcast, the War for the Crown series, is chock full of charming, dangerous, and murdering nerd female NPCs, and you guys would be absolutely stellar. I would be honored if you guys would help us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Great. And we'll see you next time on Attack of Opportunity.